Father God, we thank you that you are our God and that you have saved us. Thank you, Lord God, that you have given us your word and that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. As we come this morning to your word, I pray that you would give us humble hearts and open ears so that we may hear what your spirit is saying to us and that we may believe and that we may obey. In Jesus' name, amen. When you hear the word idolatry, what do you imagine that to be? Do you imagine people gathering around a man-made statue, sacrificing to it, and maybe burning incense? Or maybe you think of people kneeling down before a statue of a Catholic saint or Mary or something like that, praying there, asking for forgiveness, or maybe burning incense, lighting a candle in front of those statues. Maybe you remember some Old Testament stories of Israel falling into idolatry and worshipping the gods of the Canaanites and forsaking God who brought them out of Egypt and led them to the Promised Land. But what if I tell you that these are just the fruit of idolatry? As bad as they are, what if I tell you that idolatry itself goes deeper than these manifestations that I just described? One writer that I like and read, his name is A.W. Tozer, and he said this: "Let us beware lest we in our pride accept the mistaken notion that idolatry consists only in kneeling before visible objects of adoration, and that civilized peoples are therefore free from it. The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. It begins in the mind and may be present where no overt act of worship has taken place. Wrong ideas about God are not only the fountain from which the polluted waters of idolatry flow, they are themselves idolatrous. The idolater simply imagines things about God and acts as if they were true." Now you may be thinking, what does this have to do with the necessity of Scripture? You'll soon find out. What does it mean when we say that something is necessary? It means that it is required, it is indispensable, it is vital. Now I'm sure that we all can agree that the Scriptures are vital. Can we agree on that? Is everyone happy with that? However, you may have never thought about how vital they are, or why are they so necessary for us. Now, there are many reasons that we could explore showing the necessity of the Scriptures. But for the sake of the talk today, we'll be looking at three points and showing why we believe that the Scriptures are necessary. There are many more that we could explore, but that will take us a long time. The first reason is this: humans are sinful. Because of our fallen nature, we tend to sin. We make mistakes, we lie, we cheat, and we corrupt most of the good things, if not all, of the good things that God has given us. God has revealed himself through his creation. Last week we read Psalm 19, and it says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." And Paul in Romans 1 says this, Romans 1, 19 to 20, "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." Nature, The works of creation manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God, as to leave mankind without excuse. This is what theologians call God's general revelation of himself. God has revealed himself to everyone through what he has created. However, even before the fall, Adam and Eve needed something more than the revelation about God that was contained in the perfect world that they were living in. Even though they had that beautiful, perfect creation, they needed more. Even they themselves needed special revelation. God spoke to them, and he revealed himself to them as the creator of all that they can see. He gave them instructions about how to take care of this creation, how to take dominion over it. He told them to be fruitful and to multiply and subdue creation. He gave them commandments to obey. He commanded them not to eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He told them about the consequences of their actions if they disobeyed. That was special revelation for Adam and Eve. But they disobeyed. And because they disobeyed, their whole beings became darkened and sinful. So after the fall of humans, we needed God to reveal himself even more to us. They needed him to reveal himself. We need him to reveal himself to us and the way back to him. We need additional special revelation, because the general revelation found in creation does not provide a way back to God for fallen humanity. God, in his mercy, chose to provide a path of redemption and reconciliation for mankind in order to restore the fellowship that we had with him before the fall. He chose to make the revelation of his redemptive plan. He chose to make this special revelation, he chose it to be written revelation. See, if this special revelation was simply an oral tradition, fallen humanity could corrupt it. We corrupt it by falsehood and lies due to our sin, due to our memory malfunction. We could even corrupt it using our supposed human wisdom. We could say that the redemptive plan that God has revealed is not actually the redemptive plan, because that redemptive plan that God ordained for us, it sounds like foolishness to human wisdom. Oral tradition, thoughts, and verbal communication without the stability of the written word can be manipulated and corrupted. Satan would always be saying to us, "Did God really say?" God, however, chose to preserve this special revelation, his special revelation, by commanding certain people to write the revelation down, to write the scriptures. We see this throughout the scriptures. We see God commanding people to write things down and publicly read them so that people may know and understand who he is and what he expects from his people and what they can expect from him. There are many examples, and I'll give you just a few. Exodus 17:14 and Exodus 31:18 says this, Exodus 17:14. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under the heaven.'" Exodus 31:18. "When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God." New Testament, Colossians 4:16. "After this letter has been read to you," this is Paul speaking, "see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. 1 Timothy 4:13. "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching." Revelation 1:11. "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. to Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. We can also go to Deuteronomy 17:18, Deuteronomy 31:11, 1 Thessalonians 5:27, and many more to show that God commanded people to write the scriptures down and to publicly read them. It is necessary for God's word to be written word. It's necessary for it to be written down. Written scripture is necessary, first and foremost, because God has appointed it to be necessary. He has appointed it to be written, not just oral tradition. He has done so, so that it would be preserved for all generation without corruption. The scriptures were given in order that the truth might abide forever in the world. The scriptures were given due to our human condition. God has bound us to the scriptures because we need them, because of our fallen human nature. And I also want you to see that the scriptures were given because God had mercy on us. I pray that we would be able to see that the scriptures and the giving of the written scriptures are a sign of God's mercy and His love towards us. The second reason is this. Without the scriptures, we cannot know God. We need God. God, without God, there is really nothing for us. We need to know God. Knowing God is our biggest need in this life. However, we cannot discover whom God is on our own. The scriptures are the lens through which we see God, through which we come to know who He is and what He is like. We cannot truly know God, we cannot know His will or the way of salvation apart from the Bible. Creation and the universe tell us that God exists. The scriptures tell us who this God is. God is beyond us. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is omnipresent. He is all-knowing. And He is incomprehensible to us, limited, fallen human beings. Because of all of this and more, if we want to know Him, He must reveal Himself to us. We cannot in our human wisdom come to know God. What we imagine about God must be brought to submission to what God has revealed about Himself in the scriptures. Otherwise, it's idolatry. The truth about God is outside of us. The divine revelation is outside of us. The word of God is outside of us. We do not, and we are not going to discover God by searching within ourselves. It does not work that way. The truth about God is objective. It's contained in the 66 books of the Bible. If God did not choose to reveal Himself to us, we would have never been able to come to know Him. It is by His mercy and His grace that He chose to reveal Himself to us. It's through the scriptures that we know that God is creator. Genesis 1. Those are just a few things. It's through the scriptures that we know that God is holy. Exodus 15:11. He's omnipresent. Psalm 139. He is all-knowing. Hebrews 4:13. He is all-powerful. Job 42:2. God is just. Psalm 18:24 to 26. God is eternal. Psalm 90 verse 2. God is loving. 1 John 4:8. There are many more. But this is just a small sample to show you that if God did not reveal Himself to us, how would we know? It's because of the scriptures that we know that Jesus is the Messiah. It's the scriptures that tell us that the gospel is God's wisdom, as we read in Corinthians. And the gospel is God's wisdom for the mature. God's wisdom that is different from the worldly wisdom, because it does not belong to the world. The scriptures confirm to us that Jesus had to die and rise again. It is the scriptures that tell us that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. The scriptures are necessary because without them, we would all be worshipping false god that we invented in the darkness of our own hearts. The scriptures are necessary if we are to have a right relationship with God. If there is no scripture, there can be no right relationship with God. Why? Because we would be worshipping false gods. We would be worshipping the gods that we have imagined. Some people say that we don't need the scriptures. We just need Jesus. This Jesus who was born 2,000 years ago died and rose again. We just need Jesus. We just need to point people to Jesus and his life and death and resurrection. We don't need to give them the scriptures. However, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus are fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. We know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Lamb of God, because his life, death, and resurrection fulfilled the prophecies about the Messiah. Hang on, what is Messiah? We understand what it means that Jesus is the Messiah because what the scriptures tell us about the Messiah. Do you remember those two disciples that Jesus met on the road? And they were discussing among themselves and Jesus came along and started talking to them? What did Jesus say? At the end, Jesus rebuked them because they did not understand the prophecies of the scriptures about the Messiah. Paul used to go into synagogues and argue from the scripture that Jesus is the Christ. He did not speak of his personal experience on the road to Damascus, even though he could. No, he showed people from the scriptures that Jesus is who the scriptures say that he is. Peter speaks about the transfiguration of Jesus. He says that that was an amazing event that they witnessed. However, he says that they have a more sure word of prophecy. The scriptures. Yes, Jesus performed many miracles. Yes, he was transfigured before their eyes. Yes, he died and he rose again and they saw him ascend to heaven. As amazing as all this is and as true as all this is, we can be just as sure of who Jesus is because we have the more sure word of prophecy, which are the scriptures. The scriptures are necessary for us to know God and his will for us. Just because we are born again and we have this Holy Spirit living in us, we still have our human limitations. We can still be deceived and we still fall into sin. In order for us to keep working on our relationship with God through our obedience to him, we need the scriptures. Because the scriptures tell us what his will is. The scriptures are key to our sanctification and our continual growth in our knowledge and in our obedience to God. The last point for today is this. We need the scriptures for discernment. And there are two types of discernments that I want to talk about today. The first one is discerning the gospel. The scriptures in 1 Corinthians 2 tell us that the gospel is wisdom for the mature. But this wisdom is not worldly wisdom. It's a wisdom from above. It's God's wisdom. It's unique. It's not discerned by the world. The world mocks this wisdom, but we embrace it. The world doesn't understand the power of the gospel, but we do. Because we have been changed and because God has opened our minds to understand the scriptures. We can only discern the gospel, its power and necessity, because God has opened our eyes by the power of his Spirit. So what does it mean to discern the gospel through the scriptures? It means that the scriptures testify to the validity of the gospel, and the scriptures is the more sure word of prophecy that testify to the truthfulness of the event of the gospel. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, but we do not believe this because it's just a historical fact. We believe it because it fulfills God's word. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 says this, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Not according to anything else. The Bereans searched the scriptures to see if what Paul is telling them is true. They didn't rely on miracles, not even on the historical fact that Jesus rose from the dead. They wanted to make sure that this resurrection and the life that Jesus lived agreed with what the scriptures say about the coming Messiah. Without the scriptures, we wouldn't know and we wouldn't understand the gospel. Jesus' story, the story of his life, would just be that, just a story. But because his life, death, and resurrection fulfill prophecy and the scriptures bear witness to them, we can be confident that this Jesus is the Messiah. And we can be confident that by believing and trusting in his name, we can have the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life that God has promised. The gospel, this gospel that confuses the world and is a stumbling block to many, this same gospel is the gospel that we love and that we believe and that we preach. This gospel is the fulfillment of God's promise of salvation to all that believe and put their trust in him. We know that God has promised this salvation because it is written that God has promised this salvation. The second type of discernment that I want to talk about is discerning truth. I am very confident that if God said it is true, then it is true. You've heard the saying, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. The scriptures are necessary for us to discern and to filter the information that the world throws at us all the time. Culture is ever-changing, but God and his word are not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word will always be true for every generation. God is eternal. And we know that because the scriptures tell us that God is eternal. That means that he is outside of time. And so is his word. How do we know that God is eternal? How do we know that his word is outside of time? Because he tells us that. And because of this reality, the reality that God and his word are outside of time, his word, the scriptures, is relevant to all generation at any stages of human history. Furthermore, we need those scriptures to discern truth from error within the visible church. There have always been false prophets and there will always be false teachers in the church. There's been false prophets in the Old Testament, false teachers in the New Testament. And we test these by comparing what they are teaching with the revealed word of God. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 13 and 18, there's a warning for Israel not to follow people who are leading them away from God, even if these people performed miracles. I want you to get that. God is telling them that even if those people performed miracles, prophesied things that came to pass, if they are directing them towards a different God, they are not to believe them. And this warning still stands today. Again, the Bereans tested the claims of Paul against the scriptures. He is preaching the biggest miracle of all. He's telling them that someone was crucified and 3 days later he rose from the dead. But Jesus did this according to the scriptures. He fulfilled prophecies. The Bereans needed to test that to see if it was true. We need to have the same sort of discernment today. Test teachers and their teachings with the scriptures. God has given them to us, the scriptures, that we may be wise and that we may be discerning and we may be mature. We need to submit to those scriptures. We need to test everything with those scriptures. And we need to be courageous and strong and stand on the scriptures and find our security in them. Because God has appointed them to be our weapon. They are the sword of the Spirit against all lies, whether they are lies of the culture or whether they are lies coming to us from false teachers. We have the sword of the Spirit and we need to use it against all falsehood. One final point, and please hear me out on this. Jesus himself used the written, revealed scriptures when Satan tempted him and when he was challenged by the false teachers of his day. He said to Satan, "It is written." He said to the people challenging his teaching, "Have you not read?" He relied on the scriptures. He relied on the revealed, written scriptures. He said, "It is written." And he said, "Have you not read?" Now, I wanted to realize that Jesus could have said anything to Satan or to the people accusing him, because Jesus is God. And what he says is scripture. But Jesus chose to stick on many occasions to the written, revealed word of God. He said, "It is written, and have you not read?" And we would be very wise to do the same. So in conclusion, the scriptures are our first and foremost protection against idolatry. The scripture is necessary to keep us from idolatry, because without them, we can't know God. We would imagine God to be someone that he's not, and we would follow false teachers who are preaching a different God and leading us into basically idolatry. God in his mercy gave us the written word, and he has protected it, and he has kept it for us until now. And I am confident that these scriptures will remain until Jesus comes back. Don't think and imagine God to be someone he is not. He has revealed himself to us through his word. Don't believe a false gospel. Don't go after false teachings. We have the true gospel in the scriptures and true doctrine in the scriptures. We need to read those scriptures. Whether you have a yearly plan to read the Bible or whether you prefer to listen to it on audio, or it doesn't matter how you do it. We all need to be reading the scriptures. We need to make the time to prioritize the scriptures. They are necessary for our growth. They are necessary for our defense. They are necessary for our sanctification. These scriptures testify about God, and it's through them that we are kept from idolatry and all other sins. God uses them to keep us on the road of sanctification. We would do well to keep their light shining so that we may not fall into sin and into falsehood.